Washing Tech.
For cities that are still struggling with connectivity, like they don't even have 3G, 5G's promise may not be delivered in their town.
Welcome to the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast. We deliver the latest tech policy news and brightest tech policy experts to you. Wherever you are, so you can stay productive, relevant, and informed in less time. From Washington, D.C., it's the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast with Joe Miller.
Capital One is the latest victim of a massive data breach. Mitch McConnell blocks two election security bills, and Francella Ochilo is my guest today. Hey everybody, Capital One became the latest victim of a data breach along with 106 million applying for Capital One credit cards. The FBI has arrested a former systems engineer at a mysterious company called Cloud Computing Company. Paige Thompson allegedly gained access to Capital One data by intentionally accessing a computer containing the data without authorization. Home addresses and social security numbers were all compromised. The company says the breach happened in late March of this year, but the FBI complaint states that it happened sometime between the end of March and July 17th. The day after Robert Mueller gave testimony warning about election interference happening right at this very moment, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blocked two election security bills last week intended to bolster election integrity. One of the bills would have required paper ballots to be used and passed the House 225-184. Another bill, a Senate bill from Senator Richard Blumenthal, would have required candidates, campaign officials, and their family members to report to the FBI any assistance they've been offered from foreign agents. Leader McConnell blocked consent on both bills, saying they were partisan. A Senate Intelligence Committee report found that Russians interfered in U.S. elections as far back as 2014. It also found Russian activities continued into 2017. The committee released a 67-page report the day after Robert Mueller's testimony. French President Emmanuel Macron signed into law a 3% digital services tax last week on U.S. tech companies that make at least 750 million euros in revenue annually. President Trump said he intends to retaliate, that only the U.S. should tax American-based companies, and that American wine is better than French wine. Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard sued Google last week, claiming that the company censored her presidential campaign advertisements. The complaint alleges that by suspending Gabbard's presidential campaign's Google Ads account for several hours last month, that Google effectively censored her. Google says that they have an automated system that flags unusual activity. Gabbard is claiming $50 million in damages. The Justice Department has approved the proposed $26 billion T-Mobile Sprint merger. However, a lawsuit brought by several state attorneys general needs to be resolved before the merger takes effect. In exchange for the merger approval, The Hill reports that the Department of Justice is requiring T-Mobile to turn over subscribers and spectrum to Dish Network, which will become a facilities-based carrier that will compete with the merged company. Finally, Facebook has settled with the Securities and Exchange Commission for $100 million. The Securities and Exchange Commission had claimed that Facebook misled investors for more than 2 years after the company became aware of the Cambridge Analytica breach in 2015. Facebook disclosed the breach in February of 2018. You can find links to all of these stories in the show notes and also our Twitter feed, and our handle is at Washing Tech. Stay with us.
You're plugged into the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast, the inclusive voice of tech policy.
My guest today is Francella Ochilo. She's Executive Director of Next Century Cities. Previously, Francella was the Vice President of Policy and General Counsel for the National Hispanic Media Coalition. Francella is a digital rights advocate who is committed to expanding access for underserved and unserved communities. Having worked for more than a decade with government and public interest organizations, she understands the challenges associated with getting various stakeholders to agree on connectivity solutions. Francella is based in Washington, D.C. and is a member of the District of Columbia Bar. She earned a B.S. in marketing from Morgan State University in Baltimore and a JD from John Marshall Law School in Chicago. Please welcome Francella Ochilo. Francella, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
So last week, Lauren McCarty joined me to discuss the potential for 5G. So I wanted to have you on the show to discuss your perspective on 5G. But first, tell us a bit about Next Century Cities and its members. Does it focus on federal or local level policies? What's your mandate?
That's a good question. Next Century Cities is a nonprofit, bipartisan organization based here in Washington, D.C., that represents cities across the country. And so our members span all the way from Hawaii to the tip of Maine. And even though some are rural, some are urban communities, they have varying demographics as well as geographic locations, but they are all united in their work to expand broadband connectivity. So what we do is we focus on how federal policy supports local deployment. And what that means is that sometimes we're involved in federal policy, but most often we are trying to position ourselves as a resource for local level leaders.
Mm-hmm. And so what resources does Next Century Cities provide for cities who are struggling with things like connectivity? I know you have a broadband ready toolkit.
Yes, the Broadband Ready Toolkit is one of our prized possessions. It's a resource that's available on the website, not only to members, but it essentially features member stories and essentially lessons learned from cities across the country who are solving connectivity issues. I think one of the most difficult challenges for especially mid-sized and small cities, when they don't have the resources and might not have the expertise ready in their town, it's essentially you don't even know where to start. And so that can essentially be sometimes insurmountable. So something like the Broadband Ready Toolkit gives people options to start and say, what are the resources that we need? Here are some examples of success stories and also lessons learned and ways that they can apply it to models in their own cities.
And then turning to 5G, I mean, we've heard a lot about the potential for 5G, and it's a promise for revolutionizing connectivity for some, but Not all populations. Why is there such a disparity there, a potential disparity? And will 5G help bridge that digital divide?
I think one of the things that's most important for us is to always add clarity and authenticity to that conversation, because the truth is, for some of our members, 5G technologies, it's going to revolutionize things in their city. It's going to allow them to create apps that increase civic engagement. They're going to be able to launch safety initiatives. Some of them are going to be able to create remote learning and telemedicine possibilities that would otherwise be impossible. However, for cities that are still struggling with connectivity, like they don't even have 3G, 5G's promise may not be delivered in their town. So I think that it's important for us to always clarify that if you have connectivity, 5G is going to introduce all sorts of new possibilities that we haven't imagined yet. However, for those who are still struggling to get connected, it isn't necessarily going to be the tool that it's made out to be.
So in terms of bridging the digital divide, Francella, what do you see as sort of the opportunities that 5G creates?
I think that 5G is one part of the larger solution. I think that we need to think about connecting people in innovative ways, in forward-thinking ways, and we need to be aggressive. So 5G might be the answer in maybe an urban community that is going to have lots of small cell deployment, and they're going to have high connectivity. It's going to decongest networks. But maybe in smaller and mid-sized towns, we need to keep chipping away at what are other ways that we can connect people. That means teaching people how to build their own networks when essentially federal and state policies aren't making that possible. And that also means tapping into talent in lots of different places and bringing new people into the conversation that can help build networks in a way that we haven't envisioned yet.
And so cities who aren't part of NCC yet, what's the process like for membership?
Well, good news. Next Century Cities membership is at no charge to members. What we're interested in is building our network. And we want to bring in members who are working on connectivity, whether it's digital access or digital equity initiatives. We're interested in having you in our network. And so you can go online, and when you go under nextcenturycities.org, there's an option for find out more about membership. And you fill out that first evaluation, and we will follow up from there.
Awesome. Well, Francella, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me today, Joe.
Now let's turn to your icebreaker, as always, and your career advice. And you've already done this. It's obligatory. Your pick for our book this week.
got the sweetest, I got a message and the most wonderful card in a book from one of my fellows. And so I am actually finally reading Michelle Obama's book, Becoming. So
oh, is that okay?
Yes. So I know that lots of people got to it months ago, and I actually went to her book tour. I was there when she stopped by here in Washington, D.C., but I hadn't read the book yet. So I am about 100 pages into that delight. So that's what's the first thing on my list right now.
What's your favorite time of day and why?
Oh, my favorite time of day is probably the morning, because it's the most hopeful. And my favorite meal is breakfast. So you just can't go wrong with mornings.
Yeah, mornings are my thing too. You can get so much work done.
Yes.
So a younger professional comes to your office looking for advice on working and finding their way in DC. What do you tell them?
Number one, hard work will always be rewarded. I think that we live in an age when whether it's young professionals sending me emails about coffee or people wanting something that's immediate, I think that it speaks volumes when I run into young professionals who are willing to put in the work and don't need all of the praise. And I think that sometimes because people get a lot of instant gratification on whether it's their social media feeds or maybe just from their networks, I think that sometimes we miss opportunities to just do the work and let that speak for itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes in the short term, it seems like the hard work isn't paying off, but for a lot of folks, hard work is what they have. So you need to exploit that as much as possible.
Amen to that.
Francella, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
That concludes episode 195 of the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what we do, we'd love to hear from you. Please take a moment to head over to Apple Podcasts, give it a review. It helps others know what they can expect from the show and really helps us out. Thanks again for listening, and I won't see you next week. I won't be here next week, but I will return to you on Tuesday, August 6th. So I'll see you then. Take care.
Washing Tech.